This is BBC Radio, Kent. Thank you so much for your company. In September last year, Alexander Thompson, a former BBC journalist, died in Margate. He had no known next of kin and had not made a will. There was no record of him getting married or having any children. The hunt for relatives to inherit his estate was taken on by Finders International. Now, Danny Curran is star of BBC's Air Hunters and MD of Finders International. And Danny's here to pick up the story for us. Hi, Danny. How are you this afternoon?
I'm fine, thanks, Julia. How are you?
Yeah, well, nice to have you with us. Tell us a little bit more then about this extraordinary story. So we've got this Alexander Thompson. We know he's a former journalist. We know he lived in Margate. And there's no will. There's no next of kin. You guys come in. What do you do next?
Yeah, this is one of these bizarre stories. I've been working on cases like this for about 30 years now, and our company, Finders, deals with thousands of cases every year. Not all of them present such a mystery, but this one was, as you say, the initial signs, no next of kin, not made a will, what happens next? So when carrying on an investigation like this, obviously we do a bit of genealogical information, that is building the family tree through public records. But we also might go door to door in sort of very old school inquiries and knock on houses and find out what might have been going on. Thanks to the show Air Hunters, a lot more people have heard of us now, so we don't get the door slammed in our faces as often as you might think, and people are less suspicious.
Okay, so the TV show helps really, doesn't it? Because people have become invested in these stories.
Well, exactly, and this has kind of raised our profile enough for a few people to have seen it, even though it's largely daytime TV. And we're well known to the legal profession, having worked with them for many years. So if someone calls the solicitor, they can normally verify who we are. You've got this situation where we were able to get access to the property to do an investigation. And then we found that all these strange, in a very innocent looking, ordinary looking house in Southeastern Road, I think it is in Ramsgate. So we had a look around, had a look at all the information, and this guy, it transpired, was a former BBC World Service East Africa and Far East editor. So he had all these bizarre artifacts in his house, and we started to build up a picture of information about him from his possessions and from asking around. And it transpired that he did have a niece and a nephew who would normally inherit. But we also found the evidence of some kind of ceremony, potentially a marriage in Indonesia. And there were photographs of what looked like a younger sort of Indonesian person. So we thought, OK, well, we need to look into this aspect and see what's going on here, because if he does have a strange, albeit a strange children or people or children he's not seen for many years, they would still be entitled under the intestacy laws. There's no ruling them out.
Yes, intestacy, just if people don't know the phrase, that's in cases where there is no will, isn't it? That there are therefore channels under which the sort of inheritance must follow. Is that right?
Yeah, these are laid down in law, the intestate succession law. As you say, there's no will. So we find the closest relatives according to the intestacy law. So the order normally goes spouse issue, which means children or children of children, etc. Then your parents, then your siblings or any of their descendants, and then going further back, your uncles and aunts. But we don't need to get into that now, but it does stop somewhere eventually where the money all goes to the crown. So none of us want that to happen. So the crown actually inherits about 25 million a year through these situations. And so we got to this situation where there's evidence of a possible marriage. So we thought, OK, well, we're going to have to look into the Indonesian connection. And we have agents all around the world that we've worked with exclusively for many, many years. So we passed this one over, and it did transpire after further investigation that there was a former partner and a daughter living out there. So we had to contact them and basically tell them the story that her estranged father had passed away.
Did she even know that he was her dad? I mean, how estranged are we talking here?
Well, I think that the impression we had was that the mother had told her that her father was English, and beyond that, not and very little else. And of course, they didn't leave their home country, so we don't really know what happened. Maybe the intention was for her to move to England at some point, but it appears never to have happened. So, you know, we have to kind of respect their privacy as well, but we also kind of get more of a picture of what happened. It didn't seem like it was a bitter kind of feud or anything like that. Just a simple estrangement, having, you know, the years having passed between them.
So what happens to somebody when their world turned upside down in this way? I mean, on the one hand, they're sad news, but if you're that estranged, I'm imagining that the loss is not felt as keenly as it would be in other circumstances. On the other hand, all of a sudden, somebody has got this property and these amazing artefacts. And I just wonder, when it's somebody in another country, how they react to that.
Well, it's harder to convince them that it's genuine. So we might end up going through a lawyer or asking them to instruct a lawyer that we can use as a point of contact.
Is that because there are so many scams in the world now, and we talk about them all the time, that everyone assumes anything like this is a scam?
Yeah, I mean, we think it's bad here, but you should try investigating in somewhere like China. It's just people just won't even talk to you. It's impossible. So we're actually not too badly off. People are actually learning to think about, is this a scam or is it genuine? Whereas the assumption in many countries around the world is it is a scam. And we're dealing with inheritance, which, as you know, is one of the main kind of areas where you get emails saying, you've inherited money, send us your bank details. Yes. Of course, we would never do that. But inheritance is a theme around which many scams seem to have been built up. So, yeah, we're dealing in sort of tricky territory to start with. And as I say, many other countries are far more suspicious of scams than we are.
In the end, you have to trust that you're doing the right thing. And you are certainly doing the right thing according to the laws of intestacy, which you've mentioned. But there is a little part of me that thinks somebody who didn't leave a will, who knows that they've got progeny somewhere in the world, maybe didn't want this to happen. It's a curious situation, isn't it? Do you in the end have to just trust that you're doing the right thing?
Yeah, I mean, we have, I mean, the kind of cases that Finders works with are often come through lawyers. And many of those have actually, funny enough, been situations where someone has drafted a will and not signed it. Now, that will is technically invalid, but they died before they signed it. It's as simple as that. It happens a lot. And because people might only think about making a will in the latter stage of their life, and by the time they get around to it, it's too late. So, you know, you saw all of this sort of panic will making during the pandemic in the most serious periods, where people were desperate to make a will very urgently, wondering what might happen to them and their possessions. But no, it's true that probably 40-50% of people don't leave a valid will. And the important point is there, it has to be a valid will. It can't just be something that you write on a scrap of paper. The good news in this country is that if a draft will has been drawn up by a solicitor and looks pretty good, there's a chance that the courts might decide that it is valid, even though it might not have been finally signed, because it could have looked very specific to, you know, if someone was supporting a certain charity all their life and they say, I want the will, says I want my money.
There's some other evidence then, isn't there, that
exactly,
is robust. Just a final thought about what this young woman, I say young woman, I don't know her age, but what she has inherited. So it's a property in Ramsgate that's going to be worth presumably a few hundred thousand pounds, but also some really curious artefacts by the sound of it. And as well as curious, are they high value?
Yes, well, she's the whole estate comes to over £400,000. So this is sort of really pennies from heaven for her. And what we do is, when people are resident abroad, normally someone will be appointed as what we call an attorney administrator. A power of attorney is drawn up, so they can appoint someone over in the UK to deal with. I've often acted as attorney administrator myself for foreign clients. And then what we do is supervise the sale of the house. It's an unpaid role, but obviously there are legal fees to pay. And transferring the money to someone abroad is quite fiddly, because another area that's subject to money laundering and fraud is international transfers of money. So, yeah, eventually most, if not all, of the estate will be liquidated, unless you specifically says, I want this vase. You probably read about the vase that was sold for £20,000. So if she says she wants any of these particular assets,
yes,
or she might
you
want
don't liquidate
photos,
them.
We don't know. And, you know, very often people like the family photos. They want to see something about this person they didn't know much about.
Yeah, that makes sense. If you know, that's a more personal aspect than a valuable vase. It's a really interesting story. Do you enjoy your work? I think it must be intriguing.
Well, very much. Yeah, I've been doing it 30 years, so it's kept me interested for a long time.
Yeah, I bet it has.
And there are, the stories are amazing. I mean, everyone's family. The one thing I've learned is there's no such thing as a normal family. Nearly every family has some weird and wonderful sort of secret or skeleton in their closet and something from the past that differentiates them. And people are intrigued by their past, which is why you have probes like Who Do You Think You Are going on for many years.
Definitely. I wonder whether we will have so much intrigue in the decades to come, because are we paying off the last few decades where there were sort of pregnancies that had to be kept hidden, or where people pretended that their son was their brother and grandma brought them up, and, you know, those sort of embarrassments that we just as a society don't feel embarrassed by anymore. I'm just wondering whether there will be so many of those going forward. What do you think?
Well, my feeling is there might be more, because what's happened now is the institutions of marriage have become less important. Then there are more people being born without evidence of their parents. So you then move into the territory of DNA and proving. We actually had one case where we had to have the body exhumed to prove that this guy was the son of the deceased. He ultimately inherited over £1 million that was being held by the Crown because they didn't have proof of any next of kin, so we had to use DNA.
Wow.
And this is the way it's going, you know, because you're going to have more and more people without the correct evidential proof.
After how long can you take DNA from somebody who's been dead a long time to clarify that they're related?
Well, to avoid it, this is where it gets a bit sort of gruesome, but basically, if someone's cremated, it's virtually impossible. Any DNA from a property, unless the special circumstances, it could be deemed contaminated because of other people being in there.
Yeah, sure.
And in this particular case, we had to wait for winter to pass because you can't exhume a grave in the winter because the ground's too wet and there's other practical considerations about that.
Good
grief. Yes, but then they had to remove the body and take basically a scraping from the body.
Well, there's the ultimate punishment for not leaving a will, isn't there? The being violated in the afterlife.
Well, exactly. I mean, where does it end? And as you say, but ultimately, it's very often the stories we deal with. It's not that people have necessarily fallen out. Maybe their grandparents fell out, and it's kind of a bittersweet story because they're learning something nice, but also feeling a bit sad they never met someone.
Fascinating. Thank you. So really intriguing work. Danny Curran is star of BBC's Air Hunters and MD of Finders International. And we learned a lot there.